need you all to pray for me that I can get out of this chair pretty soon. Yeah. Be able to stand in the pulpit again. Yes. I would appreciate that from the Lord. I'm thankful for the service this morning and thankful for all the testimonies and all that God is doing for us. We are so blessed. Yes. And as I was looking to the Lord for the message for today, he told me that we needed some comfort. We needed some comfort. We want to talk about the God of all comfort this morning. We want to start in Isaiah 51, and we want the third chapter, the third verse, 51 and 3, Isaiah. It says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." And as I read this scripture, I was thinking how we feel sometimes as the saints and as we go through our trials, our tests, the things that come our way. Sometimes we feel like we're in a waste place. That it seems like that no matter what we're doing, it seems to almost be a waste. And it feels like we're not accomplishing anything. But he said he would comfort us there. And he does. And he said he'd make our wilderness like an Eden. There are times that we feel like we're just lost in a place that we don't understand. It seems like we can't get out. It seems like we're surrounded on every side and everything looks kind of bleak and everything is confusing. And it's a wilderness. It just doesn't feel like a normal place we should be. But he said he'll make that an Eden. And we know what the Garden of Eden was like. And we've experienced these things. All of us have experienced these things from time to time. This is just telling us what we already know in our own lives. And he said, "For desert like the garden of the Lord." Desert, a hot place. We've all been under some pressure and some hot places and some dry places and just can't seem to get catch a break. Can't seem to rise above. Can't seem to get going. He said he'll turn that into a garden. Why? Because when we're in these places, he's working. And he's working and helping us to have what we need. He's helping us. A garden supplies needs. And he's helping us to have what we need. And we can just be thankful for that. It says joy and gladness shall be found therein. Joy and gladness. Even when we're going through our trials, our tests and everything, and the Lord is helping us and trying to bring something to us, we find that there's joy and gladness in the midst of it. We can be going through some hard thing, and all of a sudden, something will come up, and it will be joyful, or it will be gladness in the midst of it all. Yes. That is something that we have that the world doesn't have. Many times when they get into a bad place and they get into a slump and they're a little depressed or they're this or that, they can't find their way out. They don't get these things from the Lord. See, the Lord knew that life on this earth would be hard when we have sin that is permeating the whole earth. And he knew it would be hard. And he provided something for us that we could have what we needed in the midst of whatever we're going through. And it says that also there's thanksgiving there and the voice of melody. And how many of us find that when we're going through, what is the one thing that we hear all the time? Well, start thanking the Lord, start praising the Lord, start giving him thanks for all the things he's brought you through already. Bring that, bring that forth, or we break into song, or we turn on some singing. Or, because why? because God has provided all of these comforts for us. And we can be comforted as we go through this life. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Oh, we know what a comfort it is to have a mother, don't we? We remember growing up and everything. Very few of us ran to our father. We ran to our mother. We ran to our mother. Why? Because she would gently touch us and hug us and commiserate, so to speak, with us and tell us, oh, I'm so sorry this happened. And we know many times we would run to our father and he would say, oh, that's not very bad. You know, brush it off. You're okay. You know, get up, go. So, but what did we want? We wanted comfort as we were hurting. And what we were going through, we wanted some comfort. So we ran to a mother. And what the Bible is telling us is that God is like a mother to us. You know, even though he's our father, he's not like our earthly father in the ways that we think sometimes and separate motherhood and fatherhood. He is all of it together. So he is like a mother to us. You know, where we can just run to him and follow these feet, and he's never going to say, oh, stop that. Brush yourself off. Get up. He's not going to say that. He's going to talk to us and tell us things. He's going to comfort us. He's going to put his hands on us. We're going to feel the spirit surround us, and we're going to feel the comfort that he gives, and it will take us through. It'll do that for us. So he's going to be like a mother to us. And through all the things that we go through in this earth, he's going to do that for us. And it's so comforting, and it's a hard loss when we lose our mothers. Yes. It's a hard loss because it used to be the one that we would run and talk to, the one that we would open up to, we would say things to. We could trust that the mother would understand, and if she didn't understand, she wouldn't berate us and say, well, I don't understand why you're thinking that way. She never did that. She always just comforted us and brought us in and helped us to open up more. That's the way the Lord is with us. And he's letting us know he wants to do that for us. We need comfort. We need the Lord. And he has provided for us to have the comfort we need. In John 14, 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, we can get ourselves into some places sometimes where we feel like we are really without comfort. We look to this side and this person doesn't understand. Sometimes our families don't understand. Sometimes things happen to us, one thing after another, after another. But God wants us to know that he will not leave us comfortless. And he doesn't leave us comfortless. And he said, I'm going to send another comforter. Jesus was a comforter to the disciples and to those that followed him while they were with him. It was a great comfort to be in his presence. It was, no doubt, it felt safe. Can you imagine what it felt like to be in his presence and to know that, you know, that he could do anything? He provided food. He provided where they were going to go next. He told them what we're going to do now and everything. They didn't have to really, so to speak, think for themselves. They had somebody that would just lead them and guide them. And it was so comforting to them. But he was taken away. But he isn't going to leave them comfortless. You know, when Jesus was taken, we weren't going to be left comfortless. He said that the Spirit of truth would come. We know that's the Holy Spirit. We know that God intended that the Holy Spirit would come. We are living in the age of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us and comforts us all the time.
That's true.
Excuse me. We have the living comforter inside of us all the time. Sometimes when we're going through something, we forget that we have that spirit, that comforting spirit there, but he is there. He helps us to think right thoughts. He helps us to look in the correct places in the scriptures to get what we need. He helps us to look at something and see the truth in it and the falseness of it. He helps us to detect when the enemy is coming against us and when he's trying to set a trap for us. The Holy Spirit is real. And he provided that we could have that with us all the time. And I don't have to share him with you. You don't have to share him with me. We all get him. Isn't that wonderful? There are some things that are comforting, but you have to share them. You have to share them with other people. But we don't have to share the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in all of us. And all we have to do is invite him in. Give our heart to the Lord and invite him to come live within us. And we can have a comforter with us all the time. In our deepest, darkest times and places, and the times we wake up in the night and we don't know what to think, and we're troubled on this side or troubled on that side, or worried about family and loved ones or conditions in the world. That comforter lives in us. And if we will but relax in the Lord and allow the comforter to rise above all of these thoughts and all of these things that are going on in our mind, if we will let him have dominion over us in those kind of places, he can erase all of our fears and all the things that we're being troubled with. He is the comforter. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm sending you a comforter. But if we don't have the comforter, it's hard to be comforted in this earth. It's hard to find comfort. It said it's even the spirit of truth. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that we have the spirit of truth in us. That we don't have to be confused. We don't have to be worried. Is this right or is that right? We have a spirit of truth that can help us to understand what is truth and what isn't. Help us to discern the thoughts that we're having and which way we should go. That's what the Spirit does for us. Excuse me. Pray for my cough. In Psalms 23 and 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah. Now, I pulled this scripture out of the middle of the 23rd Psalm because we usually always read it all together. But I wanted to emphasize this scripture. It says, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, when a shepherd is herding sheep and he has a long staff, a rod, whatever, it is to help him to guide the sheep. And he may tap this one here, and he may hook this one here and drag it away from danger. He may use this rod, this staff. He may use it in a lot of ways while he's guiding the sheep. And that's what the Lord does for us. We don't have to be afraid of the rod. You know, you felt the rod, haven't you? Haven't you felt the rod from the Lord where he gives you a little tap and you go, oh, I need to stop right here. I don't need to go any further. I need to stop this line of thought. I need to stop. I need to be quiet right here. I need to do something. We're not afraid of the rod. The rod has become a friend to us. It has become something that helps us, and we're not afraid of it. In fact, many times, I don't know about you, but many times I pray, Lord, help me to feel, if I'm doing something wrong, help me to know. Do something. you know, give me what I need. Give me a tap, give me a spanking, whatever I need. Help me to figure out what it is here that maybe I'm doing wrong that is causing me all this trouble. And he will. The rod and the staff, they're going to comfort us. Every time the Lord corrects us, every time he speaks to us, every time he lets us know that is not what you should have done. Every time that he comes to us and we're thinking the wrong way, and he says, don't think like that. Yeah. I remember when my husband passed away, and I was thinking, it was coming up on the holidays, and I was saying, this is going to be the first Thanksgiving without him. And the Lord corrected me, and he said, don't count like that. He said, you don't count like that. And I thought, well, what are you supposed to count then? And he let me know, you count all of the ones you had, and you count all of those, and you're thankful for all of those, and you reminisce and you remember all of those. You don't count the ones you never got and the ones that you don't have. You don't count those. See, the Lord can come in that rod, you know, because it stopped me up short. And I thought, I felt almost a little hurt. Well, why can't I think about it this way? What's wrong with it? But he corrected me and he let me know, you're counting wrong. See, there's a way to count that can be comforting, and there's a way to count that can be discouraging. And he was teaching me how to count. The Lord, that's what the rod and the staff do. He comes in, and as he's herding us through this life, we're the sheep and he's the shepherd. And as he's herding us and he's getting us to go down the right path, and we don't have to be afraid of being corrected. You know, many times people find, oh, it's hard to say they're forgiveness, you know, give people forgiveness. It's hard for them to ask for forgiveness. It's hard for them to say, you know, what they should do. And I remember one time my husband and I were traveling, and I said, we're coming up and we're going to turn right. And he said, no, we're going to turn left. And I said, no, we're going to turn right. And he says, no, we're turning left. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to be quiet. And then when we get there and we turn right, he'll see. This is what I'm thinking. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was thinking the same kind of thoughts I was thinking. But we got to that place, and sure enough, we were going to turn left. Like he said, it wasn't right after all. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to have to tell him that, you know, that I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong. And the Lord said, no, no. And I thought, well, what's wrong with that? And he said, no. He says, you tell him he was right. See, there's a difference of saying you're wrong and saying they're right. You know what I mean? The flesh draws back from that. And so the Lord let me know I had to tell him he was right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything. I was wrong and you were right. Only God knew what was working in me that would want me to only say I was wrong and didn't want to say he was right. You see, but it was working. See, the rod and the staff, he has this way of correcting us that it makes it easy. You sit there and it's easy. It's not something that is hard. You understand what's happening. You see through it. He explains it to you. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a comforting thing to know that he's not going to let you go too far. He's not going to let you get into a place to where you're doing and saying the wrong thing. If we will but listen to his checks, to his balances that he sends our way, we will but listen. That rod and the staff, and it's trying to guide us and tap us here and hook us there and drag us back from this. You know what I'm talking about. That's comforting. And we have learned that it's comforting. And we appreciate it. Don't you just really appreciate it when the Lord corrects you? It's gotten to be to where it's a pleasure to be corrected. Why? because you know it's going to bring something that's going to be better than what you had. It's going to be better. It's going to correct some things. It's going to do some things for you. And so we don't fear the rod and the staff. We don't fear it. In Romans, the 15th chapter, 4th verse. Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We've all learned that the scriptures are comforting. We've all learned what is one of the sometimes the first things that we do when something starts going wrong, or we get a big disappointment, or we fall into some kind of trial or test. We grab our Bibles and we start flipping it open. You know, we want the Lord to lead us to the scriptures that are going to fit this and that is going to help us to get through. And we start flip open the Bible and looking. Why? Because we're looking for comfort. That's why. And we need it. God knows we need it. And he provided the scriptures that they would be a comfort to us. That they would, you can read the scriptures and they can come inside of you and they can penetrate into your mind and into your heart and can move you. This is a book beyond all other books. There are books that you can read that can move you. They can move you to tears. They can move you to joy. There are many books out there, but this is the only book that was written for our comfort, for our comfort, for our patience, for our learning, for our direction. All the self-help books in the world do not do what this book does. The Bible, the scriptures. You know how you read those scriptures and you look at those scriptures and you read something and it just fits what you're going through, and you can't imagine that they could be a scripture so perfect to fit what you're going through.
That's right.
It's because it's the living word.
Right. Amen.
It's because that the scriptures are alive. And when we read them, this time when we read this scripture, it tells us this, and it comforts us and blesses us here. And the next time we read that scripture, we're in a different place. And all of a sudden, that scripture means more here, and it leads here, because it's the living word. It's not dead. It's not just the dead letter. It's the living word. And God can use it to inspire and comfort us at all times. And all the things that were written in it from the very beginning, the Old Testament, all the way through, was written for our comfort. We read about some of the old patriarchs in the Bible, and Noah and Abraham and all the different ones, Moses, and we read about them and we read their struggles and we read what they went through and all. And we find comfort in it. We look at it and we compare it. What do? We compare our lives to their lives. I don't know about you, but I haven't found anybody yet in the Old Testament that I've had suffered more than they have. I haven't found anybody yet. It seems like you can't even hardly reach a little bit of where they had to go to. It was written for our comfort, to help us to know that we can make it through. Just like they made it through, you can make it through. Just like if they stayed with God and made it through, you can stay with God and make it all the way through. The comfort of the scriptures, he has given us this. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Through grace. It's hard to describe grace. It can be described as the unmerited favor of God. In other words, God just looks down and he just loves us so much that he just favors us. In all the things we're going through, he just favors us. He wants us to win. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to work for him and be a blessing. And he wants to bless us. Grace. But we also find out that when he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and all, that they were going to have power too. And there's power in grace. There's power in grace. The world says they're going through something difficult, something hard, and they say, oh, give me grace. That's how they use it. That's not how we use it. We don't say, oh, give me grace, as if they're being all bad and everything's happening to me and just help me survive. That's what they're saying. But when we ask the Lord for grace, we ask the Lord for grace for us to do right.
Amen.
In the midst of it, to do right, to have grace.
Yes.
And there is a grace for every situation. You know, there are many people that have many fears, and a lot of people have fear of dying.
Yeah.
Do you know that God has dying grace? God has grace for every situation. He has a certain power and strength that he can infuse you with, this grace, this favor that he can infuse you with, that gives you what you need at the time that you need it. Many times we've read, many of us have read the stories of the martyrs and how they stood for the Lord and they lost their lives and all the horrible things they went through. And I remember when I was first saved and my pastor, H.P. Husky, and he would talk about the martyrs, and he would talk about suffering and persecution, and that, you know, we're going to face that before the end. And he scared me. I was newly saved, and he scared me. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can. But you don't have to worry. Because, see, you don't get that grace until you have to have it. The people that went through it didn't have that grace either until they had to have it. None of them did. When they were in the prisons, when they got thrown in the prisons and all, they didn't have the grace they needed to face the end of it till they needed to have it. So God sends this grace, and this grace is a comfort to us. It registers as power and favor with God. And we know that we are greatly loved and that God wants us and wants us to have the best things of life. He wants us to have a life that is full of a success. I'm not talking about the worldly success. I'm going to be a big CEO of a company, but success to live this life and to be able to have the things that you need to accomplish what God has intended for you to do. He wants to give us that kind of grace. That kind of grace. We need it. We have to have that kind of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. It's telling us here, you want to know why you go through some things? You want to know why? So that God can comfort you. He can bring you through the other side. He can comfort you. Why? Because he wants you to comfort somebody else. Somebody else that doesn't know God. Somebody that doesn't maybe have a connection with him. He wants you to be able to pass on the comfort that he's given you through your trials. He wants you to pass it on. Many times people watch us as we go through our trials and our tests. And they say, I don't know how you put up with that. I don't know how you can stand for this or for that. I don't know how, you know, you can act so nice towards them when they've treated you so badly. I don't know how you do that, because we're comforted in all those things. That even when things are going bad, there's a comfort that comes from God that enables us to go through. A comfort, a real comfort, where you feel like arms are wrapped around you and somebody is just carrying you through and loving you through it. That's the most important thing. God wants to do that for everyone. But he allows us to go through tribulations so that we know how to help others that are going through trials and tests and tribulation. Isn't it always when you're talking with people and they are concerned about this problem or that problem, doesn't the Lord just start bringing back things in your own life? He brings back things in your own life that what he did for you. And many times we repeat to them the very things that God taught us in a similar situation. Isn't it wonderful? Sometimes we think, I don't know why I have to go through all these things. You may not know now, but someday the Lord may bring that thing up at a real trying time for someone else that will just help them and help them to go through. God wants us to be comforters of others. He wants us to be a comfort to the world. You know, there are people that are comforted in our presence. There are people that are comforted to have us as next door neighbors. There are those that are comforted if we're riding in the car with them. There are those that are comforted. Because why? Because they believe that we are in touch with God and that we are living for God. And they feel a little safer being in our presence. That is a comfort. We become then the comforter to a lot of people, to a lot of situations, a lot of things. We open up and we tell and we show the goodness of God, and we give them what we tell them what the Holy Spirit does and the comfort that he brings. And we tell them about the scriptures and how the scriptures can make us feel so much better, and how the scriptures can come to the answer to our problem. And we point out scriptures to them. We tell them about the grace of God, that you don't have to do this by yourself, that the grace of God will step in and you will have power like you didn't know you could have to take you through. God did not want to leave us comfortless, and he did not want to leave the world comfortless. Jesus is no longer here, and the Holy Spirit is here, and he's going to and fro everywhere trying to talk to people, but he lives in us. He lives in us. So now we become the comfort of the world. We become the ones that can comfort, and people won't even know why they're attracted to us. They won't even know why they like us. They won't even know why that they'd rather be in our presence. They don't even know why they open up and tell us their problems. Later on, they probably think, why did I tell them all that? They don't even know why. It's because we have the comforter. And we are comforted, and we are able to comfort them. The Lord is so good to us. He wants us to be the comforters of all those that are around us. But we first have to allow the Lord to comfort us. There are some times that people go through things, and they get to a place to where they don't understand what they're going through, and they're a little upset and all, and they won't allow themselves to be comforted. There are many people that go through grief that will not allow themselves to be comforted. They don't want to be comforted. They want to go through the grief. They want to feel it. You know, they feel like it's not fair for me to not feel it, and all these things. And God wants us to be able to comfort them, to help them to let go and let God comfort them. Let God come in and talk to them and heal them and bless them. And that's what we are for. Amen. We have been healed and blessed in many things. We have gone through many, many trials and tests. We're still going through them. We're going to go through them up till the day that the Lord takes us home. We're going to go through these things. And it's because we are to be comforters now. We are not to just take, take, take. But we are to hand out. We are to give forth. We are to give to others. It's all about others now. It's not about us anymore. We have sealed our place with the Lord. As long as we keep doing what God tells us to do, live by what he says, we are sealed with the Lord. Now it's up to us to help others to realize that they can get there. They can be comforted. They don't have to be afraid. They can go through life, and no matter what life throws at them, they can come out on top because they have somebody besides themselves to rely upon. Our last scripture is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Oh, this is a great comfort, that no matter what we go through in this life, there is a day coming when the Lord is going to take us to live in his house, in his kingdom, in a place where he lives, that to enjoy all the things that he enjoys. Can you imagine a place like that? It's beyond our imagination. But we are going to go there. And it says we should be comforted knowing that we're going to go there, that we're going to make it there. We are actually going to go someday and live with the Lord. And we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of death. You know, death is just a shadow anyway. It's just a shadow we pass through. Because our soul lives forever.
Yes.
It lives forever. This clay body dies, but our soul lives forever. And it's going to live forever somewhere. And it's a wonderful thing that we get to choose where we want to live. We get to choose. We can choose the Lord and live his way and go and live with him. Or we can choose the way of sin and wickedness and go and live with the one that spreads wickedness. But we are to be comforted by the fact that Jesus has prepared us a place, that we are going there someday. And no doubt, there are many of us that have wished, through different things we've gone through in our life, have wished we could just go. We could just go right now. Why didn't the Lord let that happen? He's not finished. He's not finished with you. You have some more to do. He wants to use you a little while longer. He wants to help somebody else with your life. You have a sphere of influence that you're the only one that has it. Nobody else has the same sphere of influence you do. You touch people that nobody else is going to touch. And so God wants us to spread this comfort. But of course, this is the gospel message, you know, be saved and go to heaven. This is the gospel message. This is what we're trying to say. You can be a changed person. You can be different. You can go there and be with the Lord forever. And it says comfort. Oh, it is such a comfort to know that we're sealed. Such a comfort to know that that's where we're going to be. And no matter what we face here, it doesn't matter, because eternity is long, never ending. And we're going to have that forever. Not like this short life where we start out little and taken care of, and we get in the middle and we think we know how to live, and then we get at the end and we're being taken care of again. This is how life goes. And all of those stages, there are things in every one of those stages that we don't like. But God says, come and live with me. Just come live with me. You can have that choice. And he wants us to be comforted. Know that you have all this grace available to you. You have the scriptures to comfort you, the Holy Spirit living in you to comfort you, and all these things. And then on top of all of that, The world says, and the cherry on top is, you get to come and live with me. See, be comforted. Be comforted, saints. And comfort those that are around you. Amen.
Thank you.